Welcome to this week's Independent Comics. I'm Alex Eschbeck.
And I want to get with you, only you, girl, and your sister. I think her name's Deborah.
Is this a sequel to Stacy's Mom?
No, it's by, and I know that you are going to immediately counter this, but it's by a much better songwriter and by a much better person who can play guitar way better and write way better songs. Does that give you any hints?
Charlie Manson?
No, it's actually Dennis Wilson, his buddy in the Beach Boys. No, that is from a little fellow named Beck.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Famed Scientologist.
On his album, Midnight Vultures. That is the lovely song, Deborah. And mm-hmm. If you have not heard it, it absolutely fucking rules. Please go listen to it. That's this podcast okay. For the day.
Yeah.
This is the Henchman of Comics.
I have no transition from that.
That was Alex. I hope you guys have a really great
day. Wonderful. You have any news?
Oh, I guess we could keep going today. I don't have anything else to do. I do have some news. Do you want to start with exciting or who cares?
Who cares?
We're talking X-Men 97 today on the podcast, right? The X-Men 97 director teases Captain America coming to the show.
Cool.
Yep. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Without spoiling anything, what we're going to talk about, I don't need Captain America for this show.
Yep. Same. Here's another who cares. And I actually wrote who cares after this, because it's The Boys season 4 is totally done. The Boys, director or somebody let us know that it's totally finished. I don't give a shit. I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew that you were right there. You know, yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
I didn't imagine you were going to launch a season without it being done.
Or being prepped
to be done. You know, shows don't do that. They're not like, oh, I'm going to delay the finale 6 weeks because we couldn't get our shit together. Doesn't happen. Whatever. Let's see. This is also kind of who cares news. Deadpool has ripped off the Dune popcorn bucket.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
It was more funny than anything. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Genius marketing. I expect a lot of good marketing for this film.
Now,
marketing fans are stoked for Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah, they should be. Are you going to buy one and put it next to your Captain America shield we have up here?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to do that.
Dope. Love it. Can't wait. Transformers and G.I. Joe movie is officially in development.
Okay.
And if it's anything like Tom Scioli's version of it on IDW, I'm very in.
Okay, we'll see.
Great comic book.
I didn't like the G.I. Joe movies. I didn't like the Transform movies. So
agreed and agreed. Yeah, you nailed both of those points, my friend. EA's Black Panther, which the words EA should frighten anybody, but it is going to be an open world game.
Yeah, did you see the trailer for the game with Captain America, Black Panther, something like around World War II?
I haven't seen it, no.
It's a cinematic trailer, but it looks really, really cool.
Oh, good. I'm so happy for this cinematic trailer looking.
It still got me excited.
I'm sure. I bet it looks great because it's cinema
and
not gameplay. Yeah. The Invincible game, on the note of games, the Invincible game has been crowdfunded. So we'll see that in 12 years.
I'm so happy that such a snappy, young, independent upstart with Invincible, with such a small name and small creators behind it, was able to get some funding for a game.
Yeah, who knew that little engine that could, Robert Kirkman,
And Skybound Entertainment. Like,
oh, no. God. I love Robert Kirkman, but whatever. Peacemaker filming starts soon. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's news.
Yeah.
Technically. Sweet Tooth Season 3, something for us to talk about, June 6th.
Yeah, I saw it got a release date for that.
Yep.
The final season of Sweet Tooth.
I'm prepared to hurt.
Okay. Are you just going to play Johnny Cash's cover of Man of Tales Hurt the whole time in the background?
Oh, my God. I listened to it on the way over here just to prepare myself.
Just to prepare yourself to talk about
for 3 months
the release date. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Let's see, what else do I have on here? Let's get to some casting news. Julia Garner is the new Silver Surfer.
We talked about that last episode.
Did we? Good. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we did, didn't we?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure, so okay. I added it.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling me out, though. Good. I really appreciate that.
That's what I'm here for.
This is a really cool bit of news. Last Ronin live action movie, rated R.
Yeah.
In development, hard R.
Great, as it should be.
Yep.
Yeah, you said, I'm ready to be hurt again. This is where you're ready to be hurt.
Oh my God. Yeah, this is actually what I meant. This movie will devastate anybody that sees it.
Unless you listen to an episode of we're talking about TMNT.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Then you might already know about it.
Yeah.
Do they talk about it on there?
No, they don't. But they do every TMNT project. So I'm sure they will if there's a film made of it.
Oh, so just cinematic
project. Yeah. And cartoons, I think, as well, too.
Oh, they go beyond Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Beyond Bay. Well, let's talk about, that's all the news I got.
Okay. So X-Men 97.
Yeah.
Going into it, what were your thoughts before watching any episode?
My thoughts going into it were, I've not seen the show. I've only seen some of the first season. And I liked it. So I had kind of no idea where they were going to go with it.
You remember the I'm the Juggernaut bitch from the early 2000s internet era where people love that?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much your experience. This, for me, the cartoon was my favorite cartoon of all time as a kid.
I don't think people really care your experience on this. I think they really want to hear the fact that I didn't care so much. I'll let you finish, though.
With that being said, I saw the trailer. I was very excited for this. I did not think it would be as good as it has been, though.
Yeah, it's a great television show.
It is. Like, I'll say this right now. I think it's incredible. It's way better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily like a kid show.
No. I'm going to try not jump to episode. We're talking about the first six episodes because the first six have been released. It's a 10-episode season.
Yep.
It's running for season two already as well.
Yeah, I made the choice this morning to not watch episode six, by the way. But feel free to talk about it. I'm cool. I'm fine. I have no vested interest in these characters. They're animated.
How dare you?
They're animated and their lives don't impact mine.
So we start the season with Charles Xavier being dead.
Yep.
Scott.
That was the first note I had. Picks up after death of Professor X.
With Scott leading the X-Men. And a pregnant. And
everybody's happy.
And a pregnant Jean Grey.
Yep. Nobody's sad.
No. Everyone's happy. Everyone's functional as the X-Men are. I will say this. I loved this very much like leaned into like the 90s like design from like Gambit's like wardrobe choices, like whenever like they were just like hanging out like at the X-Mansion, them like playing basketball was also very like the X-Men playing sports was very heavily a thing in like the Jim Lee like Chris Claremont era of X-Men as well.
If you remember like those shirts from the 90s of the Looney Tunes characters with like baggy clothes like standing back to back Bugs and Taz, it's kind of like that.
And there's like some technology stuff. Like in later episodes, we see like TV like broadcast, and it looks like they do a great job of like making it look like a TV, like watching a broadcast from like that era as well. And I think the animation is great too because it mirrors how it was in the original show, but improves a little bit. You know, I think you're always seeing the improvements for the action scenes. So in that first episode,
the action scenes in this are nuts.
Yes. I was going to say, we talked about Invincible. All we talk about is animation now. But we talked about Invincible this week. I think the action scenes we've seen so far are better in this than they are in than Invincible.
I will disagree. And you're an X-Men stan. So sure. Here's the grain of salt. I like the blood of it all. I like the guts of it all. I like the disgusting factor. Like the things that make me go, that's sick. I have no business seeing this. Show me more.
But that scene in the first episode where Gambit charges Wolverine's claws and then launches Wolverine as a Sentinel. I was like, that is incredible. Like that is what like the X-Men should be.
It's like watching a live action comic book. It's really clever.
And also, we should say that Morph is alive in this. Morph famously dies in the very first, in the pilot episode of the original X-Men series, is alive in this with no explanation as to why he's here or how he's alive or anything.
Yep. Does Charles, Professor X, does he die in the finale of the old season?
Yes, sort of. I'm actually trying to not, I don't want to heavily spoil the episode six, because also we haven't gotten that far.
Oh, sure.
But it does touch on Professor X more in that episode.
Ew, gross. Can you even feel that?
Well, not below the waist.
Oh, good.
And I think the voice acting is really good, too. They got all
this was interesting to me, because this is a very big point. There's nobody that you've heard of outside of... I can't think of his name. I want to say it's Jackie something. But he's the Native American.
Nurse Jackie.
Yep. Nurse Jackie.
Are you talking about Forge?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's the actor's name?
I don't know.
Everybody listening to this, look up who plays Forge on X-Men 87. We could do it. We're too lazy.
Most of the cast for this is the cast that was in the original X-Men TV cartoon show.
They're all animation and video game
actors. And even though, and you can tell that obviously for some of them, their voices have changed.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take me out of it at all.
I was watching the show and Erin, my partner, she was like, "Are you watching a video game?" And I was like, "Close."
Yeah.
I literally just looked up the fact that they were all video game actors.
Especially if you watch episode four.
Sure. Absolutely. They legitimately were in video game.
Yeah. So,
do you think that episode four is modeled after the Lana Del Rey song video games?
Yeah, exactly.
And tell me why.
Yeah.
Can you write your next paper on that?
I'm going to completely just blow off the rest of my academic career and focus everything exclusively on the lyrics of Lana Del Rey.
You'll get real sad real fast. And also very high.
What did you think of Charles Xavier leaving basically the X-Men to Magneto in his will?
I thought it was real sexy of him.
Yeah.
I thought it was one of the hottest moves he's ever done.
Yeah.
I've never been more attracted to Professor X after that. No, I thought that was, of course. Who else is he going to leave it to?
Yeah.
You're not going to leave it to fucking Scott Summers. Are you kidding me? Are you joking my ass? This jabroni? This guy sucks. You hate Cyclops.
I will say Cyclops is a lot better in this than he was in the original X-Men cartoon.
Yeah.
They give him a lot more like character and depth in this without just being a bossy jerk.
One word to describe Cyclops in the old series.
One word?
Yep.
I can't do... Okay.
One.
White.
Okay.
Caucasian, sorry.
I would say the one word to describe him is little bitch. One word.
Sure.
Just one.
Okay. I want to.
I actually don't mind Cyclops in this season.
I like the Magneto and Cyclops rivalry as well too.
How do you feel about the cucking of
Gambit?
We'll get that
in a second. But before we get to the cucking of Gambit, let's talking about the cucking of Jean Grey.
Yes, Jean Grey.
Yeah. Well, when I saw pregnant Jean Grey, I was like, are they going to do the Madeline Pryor storyline? Yeah. And then they totally did the Madeline Pryor storyline.
Yeah.
Which. No, I think that was...
Explain it for those who don't know.
So, basically, Jean Grey was captured by Mr. Sinister, and Sinister cloned Jean Grey. Unbeknownst to everyone else, and Jean lived with the X-Men. Scott and fake Jean had a baby. That baby became Cable, Nathan Summers.
Nasty Nate, as I like to call him.
And then real Jean Grey shows up. It's like, oh, you've been living with a sinister clone the entire time. You've been in love with a sinister clone. We got like the Madeline Pryor costume reveal as well, too. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is like the actual like very chesty version of like that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this surprised me for a kid's show.
We saw the 90s version and everybody was pissed about Rogue. But now I think everybody's jets are cooled now that we have this version of Jean.
Also, we don't know. We don't know how Morph is alive yet, but Morph is great because you get quick cameo. Like, oh, look, there's Psylocke for 2 seconds in this episode. Oh, here's Colossus for two seconds in this episode.
The first episode, I'm not going to lie to you, I wasn't paying as close attention as I should have. I absolutely thought it was Iceman until the, because I didn't watch the, I didn't watch the opening the first episode. I was like, I just got to get to it. Let's get rolling on this thing. Let's rip.
I never skip the intro for this.
It's a great intro.
Yeah.
I only skipped it the first episode.
And it actually changes a little bit after episode five. Does it? Yeah. And episode six.
Oh.
So something changes for.
Oh, well, sure. Of course. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
So, but episode three, the one where Jean Grey, Madeline Pryor, by the time Jean Grey gives birth, that's also the episode. It's a great episode. That's where Magneto standing trial in front of the UN, and he's attacked by the Brotherhood. Not the Brotherhood. I can't remember their name.
It was actually the Sisterhood of the Traveling
Pants. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that got him.
Yeah, Alexis Bledel is on Warpath.
Her and America Ferrera teamed up again.
But Storm basically takes a bullet for Magneto and loses her powers. Yeah. And when Magneto takes the bad guy and clamps him up against the metal and holds him upside down the entire time, like, this show shows how powerful and how terrifying Magneto is at the same time, too.
It does. And honestly, I wish they would go to further lengths, but that's just because I want a hard R version of this show.
You talked about Blood and Invincible, and we're dancing around, and we'll get to it eventually. But episode five, there's definitely that blood in episode five.
Yeah, buddy.
Let's talk about, but like, I think episode three is when you like, episode one, you see the episode and you see the fight against Master Bolt. You're like, oh, the action scenes are way better in this than they were in the original X-Men cartoon.
Yeah.
Episode three, you see, with Storm losing her power, Magneto leading the X-Men, being held trial. You're like, oh, the stakes are a lot higher for this show than they were for the original X-Men cartoon. Episode four is a lot of fun because I think it does what this show kind of does. You get like the main storyline, the heavy moments, and then it's a comic book TV show. So you get storylines focusing on other characters as well. It's a storyline focusing on Jubilee and Roberto da Costa, Sunspot, who we have not seen power up yet, which is killing me because I think visually it would look great to see him power up.
The way that Jubilee's powers look in this is so cool.
Oh, I know.
The animation it delights me every time. And I'm like, bring on some Dazzler, yes. Bring on some Emma Frost. Like,
yeah.
Let's bring out these sparkly people.
Did you like the Mojo Tendo?
The homie's lost some weight. He's
looking slim.
He's looking real good.
Yeah.
I honestly was kind of hoping he'd just be a big fat slob, but maybe
he's been laying off the carbs.
Yeah, he's doing great.
Yeah.
He's got abs, but also the flab.
Yeah.
Like, it's the real problem of when you lose a lot of weight, and people out there, you can't see me. I've lost like 50 to 60 pounds in the last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if Alex is, he's not told me one time how pretty I look, and it's really upset me, but he's looking great.
Well, never read my dad
whatever
journal,
he's doing. I'm stretching. I'm lifting weights. I don't know what he's doing, he's got a six pack, which is way better than me.
Just stretching. He does that thing that you did in gym class where you just spin your arms and then you spin the other arm.
I have stairs now and I have to go up and down them several times a day. So that helps too.
But that was a fun episode. Like Jubilee and Roberto got transported to the Mojoverse.
You didn't talk about my weight loss nearly as long as you needed to. That's fine.
In a video game world. But I liked when we saw how the viewers saw it. It was in like a Nintendo-style fighting game.
We threw it way back. It was great.
But I'm done dancing around it. Episode 5.
Oh, man. Full cuck.
honestly, for me, episode 5 is like arguably like the greatest animated TV episode I've ever seen.
Because Rogue finally leaves that dumb idiot Gambit for the hero Magneto.
Like you've talked about the whole love triangle between Magneto, Gambit, and Rogue.
Love hurts.
Which as someone that like loves Gambit was like painful to see and annoying to see, but it really pays off in a big way.
Do you still believe in true love now that you've seen episode 5 of X-Men 97?
Episode 5, Gambit, Rogue, and Magneto go to Genosha with Valerie Cooper, the human representative of the UN. And we get to see Sebastian Stan there. We get to see Emma Frost there. We get to see Myra McTaggart. We get to see Nightcrawler there as well, too.
I loved Genosha. And I love seeing Myra McTaggart in the flesh. I love seeing some more.
We got to see Banshee.
Yeah, we got to see Banshee. I love the Nightcrawler stuff.
Yes, and obviously, like...
Kurt.
Genosha is a big storyline in the X-Men comics, but this also had a little bit of, like, the Krakoa element as well, too. Like, the council.
I kept thinking. I couldn't get Krakoa out of my head.
Yes, and I think that was a great addition, and also, if you're familiar with all the comics, it's a great misdirect, because you're like, oh, they're at Genosha. Tragedy eventually happens to Genosha, but this episode's like, oh, here's Genosha. Tragedy is happening now out of nowhere. You get this great moment with Cable appearing, full grown Cable, trying to warn them to get everybody off the island.
And he says, "I'm sorry."
Yes. And like the moment where Madeline recognizes her son as well too.
Yep.
And he's like, "I'm sorry, mom," as well too. Yep. And then the body slide by one hits him. And for a split second, I was like, is Deadpool going to show up? Like, is this what this is?
I would have pooped my friggin' pants.
But no, it is just awful. So like Master Mold, supposedly the big Sentinel baddie. This is Master Mold on steroids, basically.
Oh, big time.
To where it's basically a mass signal producing machine and the mutant massacre on Genosha happens.
Yep.
And basically we saw tons of character cameos. We saw Dazzler for a split second as well. We saw a bunch of other X-Men and basically, or a bunch of X-Men in the comics or mutants in the comics. Now you get to see them all die.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yep.
And
I'm sure you've got a little bit more insight because you've seen episode 6 as to if these things are more lasting or not, because you and I both know this is comic book world.
I'll tell you this. Magneto is dead. Gambit is dead.
Whoa.
Yes. And I read an interview with the showrunner or the crew, whoever the current showrunner is now, for it. And he said they are dead. And I don't know if you caught this. But after Cable warns Madeline and gets transported away, we see a shot of the sky and there's a brief outline in the sky. Did you see who the outline was in the sky?
It was Slimer.
No, I wish. It was the Watcher.
Oh.
Because the Watcher is there for pivotal moments, like big moments.
The one that's watching the Watchmen?
Yes, that one. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. Or the one who watches Groot screw things up, and I am Groot. But like he was there. So like, you know, if you caught that, you're like, oh, something major is about to happen because he only appears for major pivotal moments. And
do you think that, because we only see his face, right? Whenever we're watching the Watcher in the sky.
Yeah. You don't see Uatu at all.
Sure. But typically when we see Uatu, typically it's like a face shot.
Yes.
For the most
part. Yeah. Yeah.
That dude's beaten off. I guarantee.
He loves misery porn.
He's fucked up. He's the worst person in the MCU.
So basically,
he's the Louis C.K.
Yeah, basically, yeah. great comparison. Both Irish as well too.
The Watcher is Irish.
I'm honestly not sure if Louis C.K. is Irish. Uatu is 100% Irish, though. But
that's the dumbest thing I've ever fucking
heard. You see the massacre happen, and you see Gambit and Rogue almost bite it before Nightcrawler snaps out of it and teleports him to safety, basically almost killing himself in the process.
Do your best August Lund impression right now.
And Rogue teleport out of the way, and they get teleported to where Gambit is on the roof, because apparently Gambit was the only one actually doing anything to try and help people around there. While everybody died around.
Yeah,
them.
It was kind of weird.
And Alan, I get the initial like ambush and massacre like happening. But
I get it. The initial ambush massacre. In fact, of course.
I'm pretty sure we saw. Did we see Sebastian Stan and Emma Frost die as well too? I can't remember. No, they were in the building with everybody else. The building collapse. That exploded. Yes. Yeah. That Magneto and Rogue survived.
I almost said something real bad.
But
should I?
No. But I loved that line of like them trying to save the Morlocks, and Magneto's basically like, we don't want to end this day asking who we could have saved or who we could have helped. Like, if you're going to die trying to help whoever you can, as many as you can. And that scene with Leech being like, he's not afraid because Magneto is here and the X-Men are here. And then he goes to save them.
There's a lot of famous bodies
that
we flash photos of.
Yeah.
That I was unsure of their condition.
Yeah.
And it's sounding more and more like dead.
But yeah. No. Yeah. If basically in the comics, it is a mutant massacre. Like, mutants die in a score, never to come back. Until recently, the Krakoa area brought them back, but they'd not been seen for decades, like in the comics, after Genosha. Yeah. So Magneto tries to save them and stops them, but can't, and basically gets crushed. Rogue tries to break free, and Magneto, with his power while trying to hold off this Master Sentinel, basically force ties Gambit and Rogue to a pole and a protective ball to save them, so Rogue cannot die at the same time to try and foolishly like sacrifice herself.
Yeah.
But Gambit stops Rogue as she's angry and tries to destroy it by charging his motorcycle and charging at her before charging at him. And then Gambit basically gets a fatal wound and stabs himself. Or not just stabs himself, but gets stabbed by the Master Sentinel. But that moment...
That was compared to Godzilla.
Where Gambit's Godzilla bleeding outside, being poked.
This was awesome.
It was awesome. And it was very much...
It was a very cool death scene.
Yes. And Gambit being the cocky, self-assured Gambit the entire time, I thought, was...
Until the last moment.
Yes. Yeah, a very earned, well-death, very much in character. Even, like, knowing that, like, his last day on Earth was the love of his life, like, breaking up with him and, like, dumping him. He realized that, like, something was bigger than him. And no matter what, he's still Gambit through this all. And he's still an X-Man through this all. And he's going to, in his final moment, he's going to do what he can to try and save as many people as he can. And watching that moment where being stabbed in Gambit's bloodstream, because I always felt Gambit is incredibly powerful and underutilized in the comics, but realizing like, oh, you're touching me, now I'm going to charge all of you and make you explode.
Yeah. It's really just a shame that he's not going to be in Now You See Me 3.
Yeah. That'd be a much better movie.
It really fucking would be awesome. This is an incredible and an important story, and the X-Men is an incredibly important comic book in my mind. It's the comic book that my little brother identifies with most.
Yeah.
He calls it the queer comic.
Yeah.
And I agree with him completely. Yeah. It's about the other and the other experience. And getting to see that and getting to see
and you still very much get that as well too in this comic is really powerful.
Yeah, the show doesn't, you know, it's not doing anybody injustice on this. It's really powerful.
Yeah.
It's really great. And seeing this is really cool. The fact that we got to see so many powerful X-Men die in front of us wasn't something that I was sure they'd have the balls to do it without a season finale, and they ripped it
midway through the season.
Season 1, yes. Episode 5, like, get fucked, and everybody. And we're
for season 2. So really, technically, only like a quarter of the way through the ordered episodes.
Oh, do they have season 2?
Season 2's been renewed, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very good. I mean, no surprise.
Yeah, this is, out of all the animated shows that Marvel has put out, this is by far, in the Disney era, the best one, I feel like.
Yeah. I was going to say, of the properties, this is one.
Yeah.
But no. It's really good. It's really impressive to watch this.
Before we talk about what we rate this episode, did we ever agree what we're talking about next time?
I was just thinking that too. I was like, I have no clue what the fuck we're talking about next.
Okay. I'm going to then say it and make a decision. After we rate it and all that as well too.
Yeah.
So
take us home, daddy.
So what do you rate this on a scale of 1 to 10?
This is an 8. This is really good stuff that we've got here. It's I did some math. We only hit 24 properties a year. This is going to be in my top 10 most likely.
Yeah, this is
this is going to be in your top 5 most likely, if I'm predicting now.
If I'm going to rate this, I'm probably going to give it a 10 out of 10.
I know. You're an X-Men. Yeah. Alex's favorite comic book property is the X-Men.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean,
not even close.
It's an unfair bias, correct?
Yeah, sure. No, there's definitely an element of bias with this. But I think it's incredibly well done. And
It's great.
And elevates what the original show was, too.
It's 1,000 times better. As somebody who recently went and started the old property and seeing this afterwards, it's night and day.
Yeah. So 10 out of 10. But next episode, we're talking about something we are done talking about animation for, we're not going to do animation for 4 episodes in a row. We did it for 3 episodes in a row.
And that's it.
Yeah. So we are going to talk about a live action TV series that I'm going to say Matt has to watch all the first season of. We're going to be talking about Extraordinary on Hulu. It's a I'm half not hour,
upset about this.
Half hour British sitcom with everybody with superpowers.
I added this to my list not long ago because I was excited to see it.
It's amazing. It's an incredible show. And you should 100% watch it if you haven't already.
I haven't seen season one, so I have a lot of work to do for myself. I'm but not
you'll
sad
get through it
that.
Like in a heartbeat.
Not remotely bummed. I want to, because we were talking about nerd shit.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen Fallout, it's one of the greatest things I've seen. It's arguably the greatest video game adaptation in any stretch of the imagination. I think it's way better than Last of Us. The Last of Us can suck my beehole compared to this show. And if there had been one comic about this show, I would make sure we were talking about it on here. Well, there's not, so we can't.
You never watched a Street Fighter movie, clearly.
Wait, hold on, what?
Yeah, with Rod Julia. Yeah,
I will get back to you on my rating of video game projects later.
But for, I think I'm going to wrap it up. So for Henchman of Comic, I'm Alex Dashback.
And I'm Dirty Dan. I don't know why, but I am.
Pinching ain't easy.